Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
All right, so today we're back in the Psalms again, as we have been all summer. You might remember a couple years ago, actually, there was a tourist who was on a caving expedition in Canmore at the Rat's Nest Cave in Grotto Mountain. There's a picture right there. And he got stuck in a narrow little section of one of the caves called the Laundry Chute. Anybody have recollection of that? A rescue team had to be called in eventually, and they had to chisel the rock and finally release him, but not before he spent 13 hours overnight, wedged between the rocks in that tight, confined, dark, damp space. Literally stuck in a pit. So that would be my worst nightmare. Because, see, I'm a little claustrophobic. So fear of being in a confined, dark, small space with no air and no one around, oh, that kind of freaks me out, I have to say. I can't imagine being stuck in a cave in a pit, 13 hours, that would be tough. In fact, you know what drives me crazy, makes me a little crazy, is just even our little elevator right here. Truly, right at Cochrane Alliance, right here. You look at it, it's pretty ominous. And when you're moving something between the floors and that door clunks behind you, there, you see, it's a tall, just a tiny little confined, cramped space. It is not my favorite. And panic manifests in fight and flight behavior. I start randomly pushing buttons, turning knobs. I have to consciously decide to calm myself down. So I agree, it's not pretty. And I'm not proud of it, but it is what it is. And I've learned to cope with it. And usually I cope with it by throwing something in and asking somebody else to take it to the other floor. And I run up and join them. That's the best. So thankfully, I have actually never been stuck in an elevator and never in a pit. And I hope I never am. However, there have been times in my Christian experiences, in my Christian experience, when I have felt like my soul has been thrust into a deep, dark pit. Seasons when I have felt incredible despair and incredible hopelessness. And a few of them are seared into my memory. I remember when we as a family received the news that my dad had inoperable cancer, that devastating sadness. I remember when one of our loved ones spiraled into depression and despair, and that feeling of helplessness and hopelessness. And I remember when a job I loved came crumbling down, and the pain and the loss of that experience. Have you ever had a pit experience? Chances are you have. And perhaps you're even in one right now. So the question we are going to ask this morning is, what do you do when the pit experiences come? And to help us, we're going to unpack today a lament psalm. It's Psalm 13, to discover David's experience with despair and to gain a little insight on how we can navigate through those pit experiences. So let's read Psalm 13. It's just a short little psalm. Here it is. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. So by way of background, Psalm 13 is considered by scholars to be an individual lament psalm because it expresses the cry of an individual, and an individual in this case going through a time of trial and despair. And we know this is David. Not all the psalms are by David, but this one was written by David. Some of the Psalms, some of David's Psalms are related to particular circumstances. Psalm 13, in this one, his suffering is not attached to any specific event. There's no penitence, there's no confession, but David clearly feels that for no good reason, God has abandoned him, and he feels overwhelmed and absolutely alone. The enemy David is wrestling with is speculated to be some kind of sickness, maybe approaching death. There's no real explanation given. But whatever the case, it's apparent that David feels that some force of evil will overtake him if God doesn't intervene and intervene soon. So as we've kind of been walking through Psalms, we get a pretty good picture of David's relationship with God through the complexity of life and circumstances. We can see the range of his emotions from despair to joy to sorrow. Oh, they're vast. They're quite extreme. And so he has much interaction, a different interaction with God. So today I thought it'd be fun to just do a little David review. Children's ministry review. So we're going to do a little Sunday school review on David, and we're going to go a little old school. We're going to use a felt board, and we're going to use some felts. And I have the best friend, Lily, who's going to come up and help me. You want to give her a little hand? That'd be awesome. Thanks, Lily. All right, so we're going to do a little review, a little bit of David's, you know, ups and downs. Here we go. Psalm 7 is David on the run from King Saul. There he is on the run, and he is experiencing great fear. There they are, going after him. Well done, good. Listen to this, Psalm 7. Oh, Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. All right, there he is. Great fear. Psalm 18 is a song of victory, and we know that in battle, David was awesome. He was an awesome warrior, and he was victorious often in battle. This particular battle is one we're all very familiar with, kids too. It's the battle between David and who is this guy? Goliath, of course, right. So this is one of the victories he had. Listen to Psalm 18. The Lord is my rock, my protection, my savior. My God is my rock. I can run to him for safety. He's my shield and my saving strength, my defender. I will call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I will be saved from my enemies. Down. All right. Great, thanks, Lily. And then Psalm 51 records David's remorse and his plea for forgiveness. He, in this psalm, is experiencing apparently great sorrow. God, be merciful to me because you are loving, because you are always ready to be merciful. Wipe out all my wrongs, wash away all my guilt, make me clean again. I know about my wrongs and I can't forget my sin. Great remorse, great sorrow. And then another psalm we're very familiar with, Psalm 23. We remember David out in the fields with his sheep as a shepherd, experiencing great peace, great tranquility, just the presence of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green pastures. He leads me beside calm water. He restores my soul. There he is out in the field with his sheep. And then, of course, today's psalm, Psalm 13. David is in despair. He is in the pit. There he is, getting in the pit. And he's got a buddy with him. He's in the pit. His buddy's not as worried. He's just sleeping. But David is feeling great despair. Whatever his affliction, David is struggling to see God in this moment. He is in the pit in despair. Awesome. Didn't Lily do a good job? Well done. Thanks, Lily. You were awesome. Way to go. Thanks. Great. So clearly David has had his ups and downs, but equally as clear, God has been involved in David's life. He's had great success, great failure, great hardship through which God has walked with him and proven himself faithful over and over and over again. Now, lament psalms typically fall into three progressive steps that teach us how to orient ourselves when we find ourselves facing a pit experience. It kind of takes the shape of a pit. And as a visual learner, I find this picture metaphor quite helpful and in keeping with my discomfort with pits, too. The first step in our journey in the pit is to tell God how you really feel. Let's just review that first stanza of Psalm 13 again. David has no problem doing that. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? So David addresses God in no uncertain terms. It's pretty clear. It's very raw and very honest. Where are you, God? Have you forgotten me? How long? How long? How long? How long? Four times in the first two verses. Obviously, it seems to be taking a long time for God to answer. God's absence is lingering on and on and on. And David wants to be sure that God senses his discomfort and his longing. There's an interesting little phrase that caught my attention. How long will you hide your face from me? It's a poetic figure of speech, a personification, using a human image to convey a truth, and in this case, it's a truth about God. You remember Moses' famous blessing in Numbers? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. The connotation is that when God's face looks upon you, there's blessing and joy and peace. And David is saying to God, I do not feel your face of blessing and joy. I feel the opposite. How long will you hide your face? Where is your face of beauty and grace and peace and favor? I only feel sorrow. Can anyone relate? Have you ever wondered where God is in your pit experience? Have you ever wondered why it's taking so long for him to answer? Well, when the pit experiences come, tell God how you really feel. It's okay to lament. Don't stifle your feelings as if they're wrong or they don't matter. I think sometimes as Christians we're inclined to think that it's weak or it's unspiritual or we're being too whiny when we express our real deep feelings to God. And we say things like, to God and to one another, we say, it's gonna work out. Get a grip. Everything is fine. Now, that's absolutely not what the lament psalms convey. They encourage us to cry out to God. Thankfully, God is much more merciful than I am. My kids tell me that I have a tendency to be a little unempathetic. I was one of those moms, and they're not home now, so I think I'm a little more empathetic now. But when they were little and they were going to school, I was one of those moms that didn't have much mercy when it came to the sick days, you know, or the snow days. And I would send my kids off to school with a box of Kleenex, some cough drops, and a good warm jacket, and say, you've got this, you go. I don't think that I ever said this out loud, but I think what I was thinking was, sack it up, princess. Sack it up, prince. You got this. But that is not, thankfully, how God receives our lament. He is so tender and compassionate. He not only receives our lament, but he enters into the circumstances with us. He's present. He's with us. And then be completely honest with God. Tell him what's on your heart. What are you going through? Find a place where you can speak it out loud or you can write it down. There's something about saying it out loud. There's something about writing it on paper that makes it more real as you pour your heart out to God. In fact, as I was sharing this talk, lots of people have heard this talk ahead of time. And my folks are a couple that have. And as I was sharing it with my mom and dad, my mom pulled out an old journal she had saved. And immediately she went to an entry that had been in a particularly hard time in her life. The act of writing it down and then speaking it out put voice to her experience, and it validated it. And God lovingly receives our heart's cry. And while it's not news to him, our honest cry touches his heart. Dallas Willard talks about this connection. Explicitly sharing with God my concern about what he too is concerned about in my life. He is concerned about my concerns. Such an intimate relationship of love, care, and the deep desire to be involved in all of our circumstances is amazing. The second step is to ask God for answers. Let's read Psalm 13, verses 3 to 4. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. So at this point, David is soundly in the pit of despair. He's poured out his heart in lament to God, and he is straight up asking God for answers. So this part of lament reminds me a little bit of the parent-child relationship. And I remember this with my kids when they would grab my face when they were little. Turn it towards me to get my attention. I want your attention. Look at me. Listen to me. Look at me. Look at me, they would say. I want your attention. And then the next one is answer me. Like a child saying, would you answer me? Listen to me. Do you hear what I'm saying? Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to this.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Like I do this all the time. And if I go out at the house with the door, Matthew has his toys. And then Matthew has all his toys.
Okay. But I have to yell at you guys.
Okay, Linda, Linda, listen. Listen.
Okay, what?
Like everything they do at this house, you can't trust everything at grandma's house.
Okay.
That's it. That's
okay,
great.
Then what?
Good. Then you're not listening.
Listen to me, David is saying. Listen to me. He's making that same request too. And he adds, by the way, if in case you haven't noticed, if you don't do something, my enemy will win. Sounds a lot like a pit tea party, don't you think? A pity party. All right, that took a while. All right, so what should you do when you are soundly in the pit of despair? Ask God for answers. It's okay. Keep asking. Don't give up. In Luke 11:9, Jesus says it pretty clearly, about as clearly as possible. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and the promise you will receive, you will find, the door will be opened. No specifics about how, but don't give up. And then keep believing that God is with you. As far off as he may feel, believe that Jesus is crying and grieving and walking with you. He's Emmanuel. He is with us. He experienced the same feelings of despair and grief. He understands. Jesus cried out to God too. Remember on the cross? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? He knows our pain. His spirit joins with ours in walking through despair. I truly think when we're in the bottom of the pit, this is our most defining moment. In the deepest part, when you're at your lowest, when you're desperate for God, that's when you're faced with a choice. You can choose to turn your face away from God and do life without him. Turn to self-help, figure things out on your own, or maybe even turn your back on God. And any of these ways will soon lead to hopelessness. Or you can choose to wallow in the pit and get stuck. Once you get stuck in the pit, it's hard to move forward. You settle into the discomfort, and you can't see a way forward. Beth Moore has a book called Get Out of the Pit. She calls these people pit dwellers. Or you could choose to take your questions to God and trust Him even though you don't understand, even though the answers are not coming, even though the waiting seems long. And that takes you on a completely different trajectory to a place of hope. And when you choose to trust in the midst of despair, something changes, not necessarily in your circumstances, but in you and in your soul. And a hope starts to rise. And that's exactly where David arrives in verses 5 and 6. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. That's it. The last step leads to hope. Hang on to hope. David moves from the overwhelming waves of despair to the calm waters of hope. Now, hope is one of those interesting English words with multiple meanings. It's commonly used to mean a wish, a person's desire. I hope this happens. I'm hopeful. Maybe it will. But in the Bible, hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised. It's God's faithfulness, not a wish, not perhaps, not a maybe, but a promise, a sure thing. That is the hope that we're talking about. And we need God's hope. We'd like life to roll like this: problem, solution, move on. Sometimes that happens, but not always. Sometimes it's problem, wait, 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 and wait more. Remember David? David's situation? How long? How long? How long? And here's the thing. David's circumstances haven't changed since verse 4. His enemy, whatever it is, has not left. But something has changed in him. You can hear it in the final two verses as David writes, I trust in your unfailing love. I trust in your salvation. And listen to this. I trust in your goodness, even in the midst of what I'm going through. So how do we hang on to hope when the pit experiences come and the answers aren't coming and the waiting is long? Trust in God. Oh, it sounds so spiritual, doesn't it? And so cliche. Donna, trust in God, really? But it's so true. And if you wrap your head around it, think about it. The Almighty God who controls the entire universe, he's with you. That should evoke great trust and give you great confidence. And then the personal God who loves you and knows you intimately, he is with you. You have a trustworthy friend. You are not alone. Lean into God. Let his strong arms protect you and comfort you. And then wait expectantly. It's apparent that God's time is not ours. If we've learned anything today, that is clear. How long? How long? No question, waiting is hard. It's sometimes even excruciating. But in the waiting, lift up your face. Look up. Jesus has experienced what we have, and he has made a way, and we know how that story unfolds. So I want to leave you with a great song by Lauren Daigle. She writes songs, I think, like David writes Psalms. They're honest and raw and soulful. Trust in You, you might be familiar with. It's one of her songs that talks about trusting God in the hard times. When the mountains aren't moving, she sings, and when the waters aren't parting, when you're in a pit experience. So I would just invite you to listen, to lean into her lament. Let the words seep into your soul and meet you where you are and bring hope. Thank you.
Tomorrow brings.